The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. It's your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm here with my co-host, none other than Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
What's going on, Don?
I'm good.
Get this wrestle talk out the way.
I'm good, man. We got to get the promotional stuff out of the way, and then we got to talk about this heavy-duty episode of Monday Night Raw.
Man, I got feelings. I got so much feelings on this episode.
The Rawcast is a part of the Wrestlecast. You can subscribe to The Rawcast by subscribing to the Wrestlecast feed. All you have to look for is The Wrestlecast dash the CSPN. Then all you have to do is click on and subscribe to the logo that has the New Day holding the Wrestlecast sign, and you will hear The Rawcast each and every week. Or you can go to CSPN.us as well. Go directly to our website and listen to the show that way as well. So Monday Night Raw starts off with Samoa Joe in the middle of the ring. We have a contract signing. Actually, this is a rare occasion because one of the signees will be signing two contracts, because Dominic will be signing his WWE Superstar contract as well. Joe introduces Seth Rollins, being sure not to use any mean adjectives as he is a professional. We are told that if Joe wants to keep his job, he cannot mix it up with Seth during this contract signing. Dominic has his own entrance. It's kind of like a Rey Mysterio remix. Dominic has his trusty kendo stick with him. Seth calls him a coward, scared little boy. Joe says yes, this will be, give him the kendo stick, it will be much safer with him. Joe holds the kendo stick and Seth wonders if Joe thinks this is a joke. Joe says personally he thinks this whole thing is sad. Simply, what he is looking at is sad. What he should be seeing is Seth freaking Rollins. But instead, he sees a man who got booed a few times, then got caught up in his own feelings, and said this makes it righteous to take Ray's eye or have his man go after Aleister Black. What would Seth have done to Joe? It's sad. And the saddest thing of all is that Joe is watching Seth freaking Rollins give someone with zero to no training no choice but to fight for his father. Seth says he has given Dom a chance every step of the way, and he's made the wrong decision. Same with Ray, same with Aleister Black. It could go for Joe if he makes the wrong choice as well. No, the person who has had no choice in this whole thing is Seth freaking Rollins. He is the one. He got crapped on. He had no choice in making sacrifices necessary for the greater good. Dominic says Seth is selfish. The greater good is just for Seth. Seth says he is on the cusp of fulfilling his dream, and he doesn't even understand that it is all because of Seth Rollins. He should be on his knees thanking Seth. Dominic says, yeah, he's right. This was his dream. But now his dream is to kick Seth Rollins' ass at SummerSlam. Seth says Dominic wouldn't last 10 seconds in a regular, standard, one-on-one match. However, Seth will do him a little favor. He seems to be pretty handy with the kendo stick, so how about at SummerSlam? Dom can bring the stick and use it how he see fits. He wants Dominic to have every opportunity at his disposal so that he and his family have no excuses when Seth ends Dom's career before it gets started. So Seth signs the contract. Dominic signs his contract, watching Seth the entire time. He also signs his superstar contract, continuing to watch Seth. Seth congratulates Dominic, welcoming the newest WWE superstar. He tells Dominic to grab a seat and take notes, as Seth Rollins is about to take on Humberto Carrillo. Double contract signing for Mr. Dominic Guerrero. He's officially a member of the WWE roster. Congratulations to him. The hard work has paid off. He is officially a legacy, second generation wrestler. No further thoughts on Samoa Joe in this, throwing them darts, those jabs.
Samoa was definitely throwing some jabs hit Seth's way, and they came with the whole, them saying, if you want to keep your job, you better not, mix up with Forever. Joe was just fuming, saying, I want to just knock the shit out of Seth right now, him and Murphy, but he got to keep his job and everything. But I think, I don't know if it was you who said it, it's a sign that he's getting close to coming back.
No, what me, but probably, man, probably. He's got to get one good run as the champion, and then after he finishes that run as the champion, then they can put him back on the commentary. I'll be good with that. All right, Seth Rollins versus Humberto Carrillo. Buddy Murphy is on the apron trying to cause a distraction when Dominic trips him up with the kendo stick. We get a moonsault by Humberto, but Seth has the boots up. He falls with the super kick, and then he gives Humberto a powerbomb. Then he hits the stomp, and Seth Rollins gets a 3 count. Seth Rollins is victorious over Humberto Carrillo. So while Seth was making the pin, him and Dom were staring each other down. That's when Buddy Murphy comes from the blind side and attacks Dominic. He rolls Dominic into the ring. We get a double team by Seth and Buddy Murphy. Seth kicks the ref out of the ring as Buddy Murphy holds Dominic up. Seth drags Humberto over and tells Dominic to take notes and listen to the master at work. So Dominic hits an elbow, then Dom gets on top of Seth. He lands some punches. Murphy attacks him. We get a knee from Seth. Murphy rolls outside and grabs a kendo stick. He tosses it to Seth. Seth smacks Dominic on the back. He hits him with another one. Once the gut, another smack across the back. Murphy then rips the shirt off Dominic. Seth then smacks him hard with another kendo stick shot, and then another one hard across the chest, then another one across the arm. Dominic stands. Seth helps him up, and he ties him up in the ropes. Murphy tells Dominic he should have kept out of their business. Seth then smacks Dominic across the chest, then talks to the camera. He says, "Hi, Dad." Seth screams at the screen, "Beg mercy for your son, you coward." Seth demands Murphy to go grab something under the ring. Murphy tosses several kendo sticks into the ring. Seth grabs two. He hands one to Murphy. "The kid's got to pay his dues," Seth says. So Seth tells Murphy to take the backside. Seth then smacks him across the chest, Murphy across the back. They trade shots back and forth a few times. Then Seth then eventually beats Dominic with some strikes in the middle of the ring. Murphy rolls in to congratulate Dominic, saying he's a WWE superstar. Then they give him one last kendo stick shot across the bet. Seth looks for the stomp, but Dominic can't even stay on his hands and knees. He just collapses. So Seth thinks better of it. And he says to the screen, "To be continued, Ray. To be continued."
That was kind of reminds me of when after Stone Cold, when I think it was that after Tough Enough had ended, when Stone Cold was hosting it, and they had to win it in the ring, and so I forgot the guy's name, but Vince slapped him, and Austin hit him with a stunner. That's what this was reminding me of. They was with him with that kendo stick. Like, okay, so you signed the contract, you're one of the boys now, we going ham on your ass now.
That was quite the initiation then.
They beat him three shades of red with them kendo sticks.
That's for all the people who just be thinking, them kendo sticks, they just make a lot of noise.
Some walks too.
Yeah, he was whelped up. If it was a black mama, she would have swore that was nothing to cry about.
Right.
Dang. But yeah.
Gave me thoughts right there.
I swear, the only thing that was missing was Seth Rollins being, "What's your name, boy?"
That's what somebody say. They told me.
Like, because, man, they was whooping the bejesus out of his ass.
So I came across a meme on Instagram, and it was a picture. It was Dominic when he was, younger and they said me in 2005 watching WWE at in my parents' home, and then 2020 Dominic saying me watching WWE in my parents' basement.
Oh gosh. The Retribution storyline is touched upon with the video package highlighting those oh-so-crazy kids and the inconvenient mishaps from last week. Zelina Vega, she gets some mic time. She's saying that she did not poison anyone. She is innocent until proven guilty, and why would she ruin the opportunity that her men have? She doesn't thrive off of her men's success. She creates it. She tells Bianca Belair to keep her temper in check. The Street Profits want the smoke, that's fine, they can have that. But they want the tag team titles, and she'll say it one more time, she had nothing to do with Montez being poisoned. So Angel and Andrade will have everything to do with taking the titles. Strong promo by Zelina.
She definitely I'm kind of upset that he didn't bring up Saturday.
the episode that happened on Twitch.
Yeah. Now that because I was at work and then I seen one of my followers say, you know, that's what you get for talking shit. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And then saw the Twitch footage, and she was like, and Selena sitting there was like, you know, that's my cousin Juan or something like that. And you could tell that it was, they were trying to make it real, because when she came in there, she said Thea, her real name. And so she's like, T, what's up? What's good? And the next thing you know, you hear that, ah! And Kayla Braxton just sitting there with her face frozen. They became frozen on a live stream. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that was good. I mean, money. Too real for was. WWE TV, so they had to take it to Twitch.
Yeah, you said it was like, she's too good for WWE TV.
Definitely enjoy anything involving Zelina Vega. I think she's very underrated as far as a performer. She's very versatile. She can wrestle. She's a good manager. She definitely is a good talker. They could definitely use her in a lot more angles, and she could actually have a larger stable than just the two guys that she has, but they haven't branched out in that direction yet with her, but maybe they should explore that.
Right.
Angelo Dawkins faced off against Andrade. Andrade goes to the top rope. He dives off right into the right hand of Angelo Dawkins. We get a cover by Dawkins, but Zelina is on the apron. So out comes Bianca Belair to pull Zelina off the apron, a spine buster to Andrade, and a pin for the 1-2-3 for Angelo Dawkins. Picture me upset because I didn't know that. I mean, as an upset because I didn't know Angelo Dawkins was going to win this match.
Y'all want that brother to get thrown through the barbershop window so bad. Yeah. Don't give him no kind of props.
Hey, man, I give Angelo Dawkins all kinds of props. He's getting in good shape. He's making the most of this run on Monday Night Raw. Hopefully, he's impressing the right people. He's had a kid, so, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on for that man. So, keep it up, keep it up. Bianca grabs Zelina and tosses her into the ring. Zelina runs back out of the ring, and their match is next. So, Zelina Vega versus Bianca Belair. Zelina sends Binky into the post, shoulder and head first. Zelina then hits a kick in the corner, then some stomps, then some right hands. Zelina goes to the top rope. She keeps punching Binky and proclaiming that she didn't do it. You get a powerbomb from Bianca. She lifts up Zelina and sends her into the buckle with the alley-oop. Bianca then grabs Zelina. She hits the KOD and gets the pin and the win for Bianca Belair.
So it's still undefeated on Raw.
Put the respect on the good sis's name. So Charlie asks Bianca if there's any evidence towards the claim. Bianca says we all know what she did, and if she do it again, she's going to have to get whooped again. Charlie asks for an update on Foolish Condition. Bianca's had enough. Dawkins tells Charlie that Montez will not be missing the biggest party of the summer. The Street Profits are up, and they want to smoke. What do you think about Dawkins handling this situation on his own this week?
I tell you, my man, good.
Okay. We'll let you have that.
Y'all keep thinking he's the Marty Jannetty of the group. No, he's not.
MVP is in the ring with Bobby Lashley and Shelton. MVP says he is not in a celebratory mood. He liked to pop people in the mouth, not pop bottles. MVP never misses an opportunity to be the guy who says, "I told you so," but he told us so. Lights flickering during his match. He is a professional. How's he supposed to win championships in these unsafe working conditions? Apollo didn't beat him. The lights did. How come they ain't flickering now? So Apollo comes out, says MVP always makes excuses. It's always someone else's fault. MVP brings up Extreme Rules and how he didn't come to fight. Apollo says Lashley was the one that hurt him, all while his back was turned. He's not hurting anymore, but he knows MVP is hurting because Apollo has that new title on his shoulders. MVP says he tried to help Apollo. All he does is make bad decisions, like the bad decision he made coming out here by himself. Apollo says sometimes he does make bad decisions, but he's allowed to because he's a bad man. As a matter of fact, MVP don't care about Apollo. He don't care about his kids. Well, Apollo doesn't care about Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, but he does care about MVP. You want to talk about lights flickering? At SummerSlam, the only lights going out will be MVP's. Lashley and Benjamin roll out of the ring. Apollo rolls into the ring. He attacks MVP. MVP rolls out of the ring. Then Apollo picks up a couch from the VIP lounge and tosses it at them over the ropes. That's at least $2,000 worth of damage you're going to be getting the bill for. Tearing up the VIP lounge.
Yeah.
It's like Martin and Nipsey. So y'all getting expensive. Every time y'all come in here, y'all tearing up something.
Tearing up shit.
How you feel about Apollo carrying this promo against MVP?
I knew he could do it. It was just, you know, some good television. As soon as he picked up that couch and threw it, I was like, oh, this is, I said, it's going to be some shit going on.
Shouldn't be moving furniture like that, Apollo, but I'll forgive you this time.
He moved the furniture, all right.
Shelton Benjamin versus Apollo Crews. Shelton hits the ropes, power slam, followed by a standing moonsault. Cover for the two count. Apollo hits the ropes, but Lashley trips Apollo Crews up. Apollo then kicks Lashley in the face. Shelton then rolls up Apollo for the 1-2-3. Lashley then runs in to lock in the full Nelson, but MVP yells at him to stop. He says he needs Apollo healthy for SummerSlam. MVP then tries a cheap shot, so Apollo high kicks MVP in the face, then runs out of the ring, getting the best of the Hurt Business.
Yep. As soon as he hit that insecurity on him, that was just it. Your man was out for the count.
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting who you got next week when we do that.
Definitely be interesting one.
I really would like to see MVP be the champion, but maybe maybe it's a long run for Bobby Lashley. Long story for Lashley. So those pesky Retribution kids, they found cinder blocks, and the only security guard that was around screamed at them, but it's to no avail.
No, you go away. I'm like, excuse you, what?
Yeah, they told him to get the hell out of here. Hey. He tells them to get the hell out of here. They fire back, no, you get the hell out of here. And then they toss the cinder block into the glass window. And they toss a second glass cinder block through the glass window that was already broken. So is this Vince's version of civil unrest right here?
Yeah, might be.
Social justice? Is this how he envisions it in the pro wrestling form?
Well, so he might be, that's how he might look there, because that was a
But why are they dressed up like the ninjas, though? Why are you going to introduce those people and then introduce Retribution and they all in the same outfits?
I mean, you can't give them some kind of different look or something like that, man. What's going on?
Mickie James is back. She's got a big announcement. She says she is here to help lead this locker room, but she also has gold on her mind. In comes Lana and Natalya. Lana says she needs a TikTok. Natty is the winningest woman in the division, and she proclaims she is the Serena Williams of the WWE. Alana creates the boat hashtag on the spot. Mickie says she would expect this from Lana because, well, it's Lana. But Natty, she's got a legacy. She's worked so hard off of her family's coattails, and the thing about boats, Lana, they sink. Natty calls that rude in unison with Lana. Natty and Lana dressed together, same outfits.
Yeah, that was some loud colors.
Yeah, they're going to have to manifest this thing and flush this out some more. Because nobody's on TV like that consistently, so it's like, oh yeah, I forgot they was a thing.
Right.
But I didn't know they was this much of a thing where they dressing alike, too. Okay. Backstage, Ivar is flirting with some blonde. In comes Eric, Ricochet, and Cedric. Cedric has no tape, and the girl says that Eric is not as cute as Ivar. Cedric the Entertainer, Alexander, versus Rick O'Shea and the Viking Raiders as they take on Akira Tozawa and friends. Akira yells for his friend to get in the ring, but he hops down. Akira hops down as well. The Viking Experience to one of the friends in the middle of the ring, cover from Eric, and that gets the 1-2-3. Then a ninja rolls up Akira Tozawa, 1-2-3. The 24/7 championship has been lost, and it's revealed that it's R-Truth. He's won the title for the 38th time.
Started doing different mannerisms. I said, that is nobody but R-Truth. And lo and behold.
The one dude who took the Viking Experience, man, he got some hype when they tossed him up.
Yes, he did. He did.
Backstage, Drew was talking with Charlie. He says he will be watching tonight's match between Kevin Owens and Randy Orton for sure. He said he meant what he said last week. To build upon this, he wants Orton to know that Evolution has just passed him by. Charlie asked, what if Owens kicks Randy's head off tonight? Drew says that they'll have a long talk about the future of Raw then. The Iconics are here to talk some shizz to Rube and Liv. They mock their return, calling Liv so two-faced, and Ruby's personality changes more than the color of her split ends. Peyton says they've been shaping their futures, and their futures are iconic. So the two most improved women on the roster, when it comes to in-ring ability, Peyton Royce faced off against Liv Morgan. Peyton rushes the corner. Liv hits some knees. Billy gets onto the apron. Ruby hops on the apron too. Liv is distracted, and then Peyton hits Liv with the deja vu, which is what they're calling that spinning brain buster by Peyton Royce. She gets the pin for the 1-2-3. Peyton Royce is victorious. Ruby Riott rolls into the ring to check on Liv, and the Iconics, they leave.
Happy with that win.
I was happy with that match. I enjoy Liv Morgan. She's gotten a lot better in ring. Y'all know how I feel about Peyton Royce.
That finish is pretty nice.
The spinning brainbuster, yeah, I think it's nice. Yeah, especially like she kind of rushed it this time, but that first week she did it when she took her time, where you could really see what she did.
Yeah, buddy.
So good stuff between both of those ladies. I really enjoyed that match, even though it was pretty short. Backstage, Shane comes up to the smoke-filled room and asks the security guard if everything is going okay. He says it's almost 10, which means it's almost time for Raw Underground. You think we're going to see tall Bruce Leroy do something physically besides guard the door? I'd like to see him get on the mat and see what he can do. Riddick Moss is in the ring with some other dude and they wrestle. They roll to the outside. Shane says, there are no rules. There are no rules. Riddick Moss bats the guy into some sheet metal, then gets taken back to the apron. Riddick locks up and tosses the other guy into the ring. We get a front face lock into a cover from the opponent. Right hands to the gut from Riddick Moss, hair pull and an eye gouge, and a headbutt, which is apparently all legal here at Raw Underground. We get a right to the face, then a bunch of stomps, and the bell rings. Shane congratulates Riddick Moss on the victory. Week two, starting off with Riddick Moss. How do you feel about the start to Raw Underground?
I mean, it was good to see Riddick Moss, but we ain't seen him since WrestleMania, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on, like, main event, I think, a couple weeks, a couple episodes. But, it was cool just seeing what Shane was offering the second week with this new concept.
Asuka versus Bayley. If Asuka wins, she gets a title shot against Sasha Banks at SummerSlam.
And Asuka with the hip attack going right after the double champion.
You're seeing it in the physicality of Asuka. This is not just about getting to SummerSlam.
Oh,
challenging Sasha Banks.
To the back off the snapmare and a kick out. And look at Asuka jump and go. Joe, this could be over early.
Oh, it very well could be early. I mean, this is a different level of aggression than we've ever seen from Asuka.
Also about revenge for what Bayley did to Kairi Sane. And the distraction provided by Bayley attacking Kairi Sane in the backstage area. Asuka made the choice that was an extraordinarily difficult choice. But, Joe, knowing a lot of superstars, you pick your friend over the competition.
Well, maybe you do, Tom, but
I can't other say superstars. So. Maybe not yourself. Oh, and caught up here on the top turnbuckle. Bayley slows down Asuka.
Well, if it was me in that same situation where, you know, I would be a child, the friend who lives.
Driven face first into the canvas. Bayley and a kick out by Asuka. Oh, look at Asuka into the backslide. Shoulders down. Oh, trying to go to SummerSlam. Went for the kick. Now Bayley trying to catch Asuka. Oh, right to the face.
Oh, right the wave.
This is the opening that Asuka needs here against Bayley. Boy, I think about it, the presence of Sasha Banks just,
double knee strike.
This motivated Asuka that much more.
The knee attack by Asuka to go to SummerSlam and a kick out by Bayley.
And Asuka has an answer to everything Bayley has been throwing at her lately.
And you can see the concern on the face of Sasha Banks. That is how talented Asuka is. That is why Banks is so worried. Banks and Bayley have taken their turns throughout their time over the last few months, putting each other in these situations. Both of them have responded. Will Bayley do the same tonight? Oh, wait for the spinning back fist and blocked.
Oh, she got that knee.
And a spinning back fist from Bayley. One of Asuka's best moves. Oh, and the sunset flip into the turnbuckles.
Oh, sunset bomb into the turnbuckles.
Oh, yes. Mocking Kairi Sane,
the pirate princess, the best friend of Asuka.
Oh,
Asuka!
Flying over! No, transition into the Asuka lock.
Asuka lock! Asuka lock on Bayley!
Asuka lock in the middle of the ring!
Tap out! Asuka's going to SummerSlam!
Here's your winner by submission, Asuka!
It was a battle. Asuka had to overcome not just Sasha Banks at ringside, but defeat Bayley. But now, Asuka has what she wants.
Asuka has earned the right to face Sasha Banks at SummerSlam for the Raw Women's title.
I knew that was coming.
This was a classic. This was a good match.
It was a very good match, sir.
This was probably the highlight as far as in-ring of this whole episode.
I would say so.
It will get pecked down the list, put down the list due to, you know, what happened in the final segment and, you know, Dominic Guerrero getting beat, you know, three shades of red. But as far as a match, like, people go back and think about, hopefully people will remember this at some point in time and be like, oh yeah, that time Asuka and Bayley wrestled on a Raw. It was really, really good. We go back to Raw Underground. We have an amateur wrestler who making short work of a jobber by beating him while wearing jeans. The match ends due to a high spinning heel kick to the face. So we get our second look at Dabo Kato. He destroys some dude. He is like really abusing him, and then for no reason just grabs him and grabs a handful of nuts and doesn't let him go. Then he hits him with a right hand to the face as the cherry on top. That was totally weird. Shayna Baszler, she hops up onto the ring. Shane asks Kato to leave. Shayna puts in her mouth guard. No one wants to face her, so Shayna hops down and clocks some chick in the face. Shayna rolls the girl back into the ring. Some blonde comes in to help her friend, so Shayna beats her ass until another blonde comes in and locks on a sleeper. Shayna rolls her forward and locks up, but the girl gets a triangle. Shayna escapes, stands tall, and all three circle Shayna. They shoot towards Shayna. Shayna gets a right hand, a hip toss to another, and a high kick to the third. Takedown and submission to the initial blonde, and Shayna is victorious. Yeah, it didn't take long for us to see Shayna Baszler in Raw Underground.
And that was the that was the rumbling was that they were going to put her in that element, and that's what they did.
I think it was a good change of pace. I think a lot of the women who are fans of WWE definitely appreciated it. Now, what really would have been the icing on the cake for them if they would have had some little scrawny dude that she beat up, but you know, they didn't quite go that route. But I'm pretty sure that all the Shayna Baszler fans are like, okay, we've seen her in Raw Underground now. We don't have to worry about seeing that or waiting for that or being like, man, why they never put Shayna in the Raw Underground?
Right.
Retribution, they've turned over somebody's car. I hope they had extra the rental car insurance on that, and they are not insuring that on their own personal insurance, because that would suck.
It would.
Main event of the evening time, Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton. Both men go back and forth. Owens hits a headbutt. Orton falls to the mat. Owens then lands a swanton bomb. He gets the cover for a two count. Flair yelling to Randy Orton to stand up. But Owens is stalking Orton, waiting for the attack. Owens turns Orton around, gives him the kick to the gut. He goes for the stunner, but it's countered into an RKO out of nowhere. And Randy Orton gets the win over Kevin Owens, clean in the middle. This was a good match too. They gave him a lot of time. The guys got about 15 good minutes.
Right, I'm thinking, oh, we're about to get some more retribution shenanigans, like on SmackDown, but nope.
They gotta find something for Kevin Owens to do where he can get some wins.
So apparently, he was supposed to move back into a story with Seth. But when Rey Mysterio came back, those plans changed.
Card subject to change.
Indeed.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this. Randy Orton, when he gets tested and got guys who's willing to push him, you know, he can deliver a good TV match. And this was one of them. So shout out to Kevin Owens and Randy Orton for that main event. Orton calls for the mic. He tells Ric Flair not to leave just yet. He wants to ask a favor of Flair. There's something they need to talk about. They also need to celebrate, so stay put. Orton tells Flair that he has every right to be upset with him, but he can't be angry with him. Flair is the nature boy, the dirtiest player in the game. Flair has been right there for the past 20 years, and he's why Orton is still in the ring after 20 years. He can't be mad at Ric Flair. Think back to 2002, 2003. Orton got himself in a little bit of trouble in Illinois, and no one came to help him except Ric Flair. He bailed Orton out of that trouble only his 22-year-old dumbass could have gotten himself into. He said he respected Flair after that. He loved him. But he doesn't respect Flair anymore or love him anymore because Flair is a liability to everything that he is trying to get done right now. Orton looks back and knows why Flair took a young Orton under his wing. He was thinking that Orton could be the son Flair wished he had. Flair seems upset. Orton tells him to cry on a river and sob like a little baby. Orton says Flair's not the Flair that taught Orton everything he knows. The Flair Orton knew wouldn't need a pacemaker, wouldn't have slipped into a coma, and wasn't a whore for the spotlight. So Flair takes the mic from Orton. He says he is taking this very personally, and he hears Orton. He wants to tell Orton something first. One, that Ric Flair Orton came to see and be with, he's not here anymore. Orton's right. Flair loves the spotlight, calling Orton the greatest, and he wants to be a part of it. Yes. Flair says he's 71 years old, and he's on Monday Night Raw. What does that mean to him? He's got Hulk Hogan calling him, asking me how it is. And he gets to tell him that it's the greatest feeling in the world. He's here because he wants Orton's approval, and he does want to be with Orton. He wants to be here when Orton wins his titles. He wants Orton to break his record, not John Cena's record, but his record. How many miles has he flown? Orton knows all about this. No cell phones. Orton knows what Flair went through. Orton is the greatest performer in the business today. Flair says he can't get mad because after 31 days being in the ICU, being in a coma for 12 of them, he woke up and all he wanted in life was to tell the people who he hadn't told that he loved them and to make sure everybody he loved knew how he felt. He called around to everyone that mattered. You have to be this close to where he was. He's not trying to take anything from Orton. He says he's just Charlotte's dad and he wants to be a part of Orton's life. He's not Ric Flair anymore, but he's a big fan and Orton is the guy to break his record. Orton grabs the mic and he hugs Flair. Flair turns his back and then Orton low blows Flair as the lights flicker on and off. Flair's down, gets onto his hands and knees. Orton backs up. He begins to size Ric Flair up. The lights go out. They come back on. Orton readies. He runs. The lights go out. And we hear the punt kick to Ric Flair in the dark. When the lights come back on, Ric Flair is laid out. Orton grabs Ric Flair's hand and lays it on his chest. He whispers something in Flair's ear. That's when Drew McIntyre runs down the ramp with the medical staff, gets in the ring. Drew yells, "Really? Even him? You evil son of a bitch." Orton stands at the top of the ramp to see as the camera gets a close-up on Randy Orton's face, and that's how we end Monday Night Raw.
After that, I just stayed there and just stared like at the TV. It was like, what the hell, man?
Not the nature boy.
We knew it was coming, but...
So, that might be the end for old Ric Flair.
Yeah, they say it's the end of him on WWE TV for right now, so.
It was well done, though.
It was.
The Ric Flair cutting a Ric Flair promo that only Ric Flair can. It's not as nature boy as it would have been 30 years ago, but it was very effective for what it needed to be in 2020.
So much truth.
You can tell that Bruce Pritchard is a part of this show now because the storylines and the conversations are a lot more personal.
Yeah,
like Randy Orton went super personal.
Yeah, I thought he was talking about David Flair, but he was talking about, I guess that shot was at Reed Flair.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's like, dang, Randy, you ain't got to go there. But, you know, it does draw you in because it's real life, you know?
It is.
It's Ric Flair's real life, anyway. So, unfortunately, the Nature Boy has been put out of commission. He got hit with that Legend Killer. And, yeah, man. Now, just imagine if this was the last thing you saw going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, I saw what you said. When you said they could save this for the go home show.
Yeah. Like, man, can you believe what Randy Orton did to Ric Flair? Oh, man, Drew McIntyre going to whoop his. And then, you know, Sunday comes and bam, you got the match. But now you got one more week to try to top that. You ain't finna top that going into SummerSlam.
Nope.
So they might have had that a week early in the chamber, but we'll see how they proceed for next week's go home show. Well, where we will be playing our favorite game.
Who you got?
See if, who knows more about WWE booking and creative, me or Mo to the _. I'll actually be playing a version of Who You Got all week because next week because it's going to be a takeover Saturday as well. So before SummerSlam, so that should be a lot of fun with me and Miss Simi. But your thoughts overall of Monday Night Raw? Your summary, sir.
Like for the most part, I enjoyed the Angelo Dawkins match. Enjoyed the promo, the promo with Rick, Randy post match, MVP's promo against Apollo Crew, that was pretty good. So like it was a little solid episode. You know, we just moved along to SummerSlam.
As the card stands now, what are you looking forward to on SummerSlam?
Definitely the championship match. Trying to see if Drew can hold on to the title.
How do you feel about the Drew McIntyre title run? Do you feel it's been an effective title run? Do you feel like he's just been okay? Do you feel like no crowd has been a hindrance to him? Kind of what are your thoughts on
that? That definitely has been the issue there. No crowd has really played a part in how this championship run has been for him.
I still think he's done a fairly good job, though.
I mean, he's done a good job, but there's no crowd. This kind of kills it.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. He's had a lot of pretty big moments, pretty big promos that could have, you know, definitely been that much more memorable with the crowd.
Right.
I thought this was a very enjoyable episode of Monday Night Raw. They got it, you know, on and popping with the Dominic thing and him catching that beat down. They're still throwing a little seeds out there for Liv and Ruby Riot. Can they get their stuff together? Like that Binky and Zelina got to mix it up, give a chance for Binky to get some in-ring experience on Raw, get people to see her, see how impressive she is. Zelina Vega got a chance to talk, cut that promo. I thought that was really good. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, top-notch work there at the end of the third hour where a lot of people aren't watching, but I think they kept a lot of people's attention. Bayley and Asuka, match of the night, 5 stars. I thought that match was just phenomenal. They're Sasha Banks and Bayley just at the top of their games right now. Sasha Banks holding those 4 belts the way she was holding them on that one close up. Oh man, just looks so good. what more can I say? I mean, they're running the show. They're the most entertaining parts of the show. It's been that way for about 2 months now, and I don't see it changing until they decide that they don't want to, you know, spotlight them as much as they have. But even with less time, I think those two are so good that they can maximize their minutes, and they'll still be the talk of the show.
You know it. So it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. They are.
They probably didn't think they was going. They was going to be that way, but then you know how things happen when they get good television. And Vince has been like mostly impressed with Bailey doing this run.
I think everybody is impressed with Bailey during this run. I, for one, will say that I thought that they were setting money on fire by having Bailey turn heel when it first happened. She, to her credit, has really found her lane. And during this time of no fans, she was the first one to kind of elevate her in-ring to being more audible. And talking more trash and doing more gestures and things like that during her matches to make herself much more entertaining. And then you add Sasha on top of it and how they're feeling about each other, giving them all the titles. So it's been a lot of fun watching Bayley progress and become just a standout heel, which is going to make her even that much better as a babyface when she does eventually make that turn again. All right, Mr. Mo, to the underscore, it's your time and your thank yous and shout outs and all those good things.
Shout out once again to you, Don, for having me, you know, just talk wrestling as we always do. Shout out to Sam Gray, Classic Mel, DD, Jay, Miss Simi, Dwayne, Sean over the push. Is anybody who's in the hashtags with us? Jubilee Julep. Is anybody in the hashtags with us? You know, thanks for hanging out with us. Talk wrestling, you know, making those these Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays and pay-per-view Sundays very interesting.
Thank you, Mr. Moted underscore Reese, for joining me once again for this episode of the Rawcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to you. Give a big shout out to Miss J to the Max, who joined me this past weekend as we brought it back. Hashtag SmackDown Matters. So you can hear me and Miss J share our commentary with color on this past week's SmackDown. I give a shout out to Miss Simi, NXT, and over on the Dark Match where we review AEW. That podcast can be found on our Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron, $3 patron, $5 patron, and you'll get access to the Dark Match each and every week where you also get AEW Dynamite review, but you also get before and after candid conversations from all the podcasts here underneath the WrestleCast umbrella. So yeah, you get to hear some good tidbits from Mo to the underscore Reese. If you tune in to the up and coming Dark Match, those episodes come out on Sundays. So please check out the Dark Match, become a patron, support the WrestleCast. Also, you can support the show by going over to CSPN.us, clicking on the tab that says keep our podcast free. Do any shopping on any of the sponsors in that pull down menu. Some of your purchase comes back to help the CSPN keep the WrestleCast free each and every week. Give a big shout out to the Glow, all the Wrestle Bays. Give a shout out to Miss Laura Singh. How you doing out there? Give a shout out to everybody who includes us in the Follow Friday hashtags and thinks about
Essential
R and all those people, man. Every time that they ask about your favorite wrestling podcast, they always shout us out and get us up on those lists. So we definitely appreciate them. They're kind of like my eyes, but I don't see those things and don't react fast enough. So definitely big shout out to everybody who does that, supports the WrestleCast in that way. And we can't wait to talk to you next week as we will be previewing SummerSlam. So for my co-host, Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been the Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
I had no choice in becoming the Monday Night Messiah. I had no choice in making sacrifices necessary for the greater damn good. And I gotta ask, I gotta know, when is it going to be enough? When is it going to be enough for you, for you, for you, for anyone? When is it finally going to be enough?
It's never gonna be enough. You make excuses for all the ungodly things that you do? Alistair isn't the same. My father's confidence isn't the same. You change the lives of good men for the worse. And you use the greater good as an excuse, but the greater good that you fight for is for yourself.
You are so ungrateful. You are here on the cusp of fulfilling your dream and becoming a WWE superstar, and you don't even understand that that is all because of me.
My dream is to kick your ass at SummerSlam.
Okay. Look. I'm gonna do you a little favor. You seem to be pretty handy with that there kendo stick. So how about at SummerSlam, you can bring that with you. You can use it however you see fit. That or any tool in the toolbox. As a matter of fact, I want you to have every opportunity at your disposal so that you and your family have no excuse when I end your career before it ever begins.